Right. Let me ask those who are hearing the recording, if they ever do, are they excited? We hope they are. The thing that, as you know, we live quite close to twins, and they live in a perpetual state of excitement. There is energy. There is rejoicing over the smallest things in life. And when they burst through into the part of the building where Phoebe and I live, they shake us up. And this morning, may the Lord Jesus Christ shake us up with the excitement of his gospel. So here is our first slide, because what you may see is there is an overlap this morning between the remembrance service and this morning, because I think at one point it was possible that we were going to have the remembrance service here. And so the subject matter that I was given was God calls us whatever the cost. Did you see I put a question mark there? Because that is quite a challenge, isn't it? Whatever the cost. And I didn't think I could be so presumptuous as to assume for myself that I could actually complete that situation, whatever the cost. So it says, greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. This is often mentioned in the context of self-sacrifice. And we will have rehearsed some of that last week. Now, there's a little picture there. I think yes, it's come out very clear, actually, on the screen. And it is Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Do you remember his story? Can you see his dates there? He did not live very long, did he? But the impact that he had on the world eventually and in Germany was absolutely amazing. Let's just consider on the internet, there are 40 sayings that were recorded that he said when he was speaking to his congregations, because you know that he was the pastor. And this one particularly grabbed my attention. And it says, if we answer the call of discipleship, where will it lead us? What decisions and partings will it demand? To answer this question, we shall have to go to Jesus. For only he knows the answer. Only Jesus Christ, who bids us follow him, knows the journey's end. But we do know that it will be a road of boundless mercy. Discipleship means joy. Now that particular phrase stunned me, because here is a man who is constantly preaching in a way which offends the authorities, a bit like the Apostle Paul, constantly offending the authorities. Now, Anne read us with such clarity, it came over here this morning, didn't it, about the full armor of God. And here I imagine that Dietrich Bonhoeffer must have put on the full armor of God. Now, the Nazi party had said to the churches, you can function, but there are three things that you must do. You must at all times respect the Führer, Adolf Hitler. You must at all times respect the Nazi party. And you will not complain about the Jewish deportation. If you do all those things, then you are free to carry on with your church services and doing what you do as church people. We will not interfere with you. Can you see that the state was compromising the church there considerably? But I think about ourselves, where would we have been in that situation? Because Dietrich Bonhoeffer was about one voice amongst the millions of people who said, well, yes, let's carry on in that way. Let's not complain about these things. let's keep it all quiet and let's hope it will all come to an end at some time. I just make this point because it's difficult to know if the church is being compromised, isn't it? It's difficult to know at what point we get compromised. But here's a man who knew that once he had said that Adolf Hitler was wrong, that the Nazi party was wrong, that the Jewish solution, as they called it, was wrong, that meant death. A whatever the cost person was Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And I'm just amazed. I watched a documentary about him. It was a drama documentary about the things that he went through, because he was not a man without fear. He's like us. We would have been afraid, wouldn't he? He was not a man without fear. And I don't know if any of you listened to From Our Correspondent on Radio 4. I expect it grips you, doesn't it? And I can see, yes, that's good. Quite a few people are gripped by it. And they were talking about Nicaragua. And you see, these things haven't gone away from the world, have they? Nicaragua with Daniel Ortega. It is so restrictive. And we know from Anne about the situation in Hong Kong and China. So these things have not gone away. But why do I make this point for you this morning? That I say that we can rejoice in our freedom, can't we? We can rejoice in our freedom. And if there are things that we perceive to be wrong in the world, we can deal with them. We can actually be vocal and we can say, this is wrong. We can write to our MP. We can do all sorts of different things. We can live a life that actually reverses the situation in which we find the rest of the world. So here, that's sort of looking back really on last Sunday, but bringing it forward to this Sunday. So may I now bring forward a little further than the next bit. And that is where we deal with fears and phobias. Now, can you see the little picture there with somebody nursing a spider? Anybody like spiders? So there's a lot of people who like them, and some people don't like them, actually. And you know what it's called? Arachnophobia, yeah. And that is a real fear. This is why we need the full armor of God, don't we? Because all these things can affect us. Acrophobia. That's the fear of heights. Can you see the word that comes out of there? Is acroprop, which was the building prop to hold a building up. And we can see acrobat, who obviously has no fear of heights. And then we've got agoraphobia. That's afraid to go out, isn't it? What? You know, that must be awful, mustn't it? Do you know, during lockdown, I suspect that some of us actually almost got to the point where we didn't want to go out. Isn't that a strange thing that happens to us? And then gossophobia. Any thoughts on that one? Sorry? That's a very nice interpretation, but according to the dictionary, it's the fear of public speaking. That's what I have, you see? That's why I'm here talking to you. I have a fear of public speaking. And then there's mysophobia, and that's very relevant to the times that we're in. It's the fear of infection. And then claustrophobia. Now, out of all that list, claustrophobia is probably my one, the one that affects me most. I don't like being in confined spaces at all. When I had to have an MRI scan, I walked in and I was full of confidence until they put me on that trolley thing. The two women who were running it, they didn't actually tell me anything. They were chatting amongst themselves and they said, get on the trolley do you want headphones? And I said, yes. Do you want music? And I thought, no, I'm a sort of a tough guy. I don't need music. Put me on the trolley and off we go. But I didn't realize that the trolley comes up and the tube comes over you and it's absolutely horrendous. I was scared out of my wits, I must tell you that. I don't mind admitting it now, but it's strange. You see, we need the full armor of God. I don't actually, you'd say, well, many thousands of people have this and they're not afraid. Why was I afraid? We need the full armor of God, don't we? And then there's another one here, is trypanophobia. And that's another one for the current situation. It's the fear of needles. Yes. So we've been having a lot of that. And then I've got another one. It's phoebephobia. That's the fear of Phoebe. That's what I have. And that is another thing that it's called a phobia. Let me see. I can't see phobia, can I? I can't see my phobia. So it's a phobia because it's not a real fear, if you see what I mean. It's just one that's particular to me. So let us move on then. Let's move on. Now, I often wonder, and it actually came up because we have an advert in Framfair. Have you seen the advert in Framfair? Which puts the services out and the subjects and this sort of thing. And we had a little bit of discussion about whether, if somebody walked through those doors now, would they understand the language we use? Is it a mysterious language? Is it almost like if you went back far enough in the times of the church where they used Latin? And so it excluded everybody apart from the intelligentsia who then revealed the truth to them. Or would the truth be obvious? So what's behind the full armor of God? I want to just clarify the terms, and Anne has read all these to us, but just to clarify them. Truth, and this is from the Merriam-Webster dictionary, which I quite like because it has a sensitivity to spiritual things. Truth, that which is consistent with the mind, will, character, glory, and being of God. Get your head around that. That is real truth. Righteousness, acting in accord with divine or moral law, freedom from guilt or sin. Very clear, isn't it? Gospel, the message concerning Christ, the kingdom of God, and salvation. Absolute clarity. That's what the gospel is. Faith, belief and trust in the loyalty to God. Faith, belief and trust in and loyalty to God. And then salvation. We use this word. It's almost a mystery word out there, you know, amongst people who didn't go to church. Salvation is almost a mystical word. Whatever does it mean? Deliverance from the power and the effect of sin. Salvation is often used about the health service, you know, that the health service saves people. And also our beloved politicians, they offer us salvation, don't they? A bit tarnished at times. So let's go on a little further. So what I've tried to do now is to put this full concept into language that hopefully we can all understand. So what's the best dress Christians are wearing? Yeah. So what are you going to put on? How many of us go out in the morning, we go to the co-op in our pajamas? No. We try to avoid that, don't we? Oh, congratulations, somebody does. But as a general concept, we get dressed in the morning, don't we? And we put things on simple, that are appropriate. if we're going to be doing a messy job, then we put on our overalls or whatever our version of overalls is. My version of overalls is clothes that have worn out, like this will become my overall eventually. But we all have our forms of dressing. And what I was thinking about is that actually I'm very aware that I rush out in my spiritual pajamas. I don't put on the full armor of God. I just rush out there and I've probably not got a thought for God in my head at that, possibly at that moment, because it's all rush, rip and tear, isn't it? But here, Apostle Paul implores us to put on the full armor of God. He's so good in his time at putting things in context, isn't he? Now, today, people don't really appreciate the full armor of God. So what I'm saying here is the attractive belt of truth with the integrity buckle. That's what we need to have. Now, have you noticed this thing about Owen Paterson, the MP? This has caused quite a storm, hasn't it? Because he was doing all this work on the side. He was making £100,000 for doing extra work and not doing the job of an MP. And also he was misusing the situation. But it justified it, didn't he? He tried to make it truth. He tried to put it in a context, well, I didn't break the rules. Now, we're quite hard on him, and the whole nation has been hard on him. And instead of serving 6 weeks outside the House of Commons as a punishment, he's now lost his position, hasn't he? But then I think we need to think about that in our own context. We can talk about the truth, but we need to put on the buckle of integrity as well, don't we? That's what makes truth attractive, the buckle of integrity, because we can do a lot of talking, but not a lot of doing. Now, the matching breastplate, looking, and I've used a colloquialism here, looking well good. Have you heard that term? Yeah, oh, well, that's good. I'm glad that you've mixed with the Estuary dialect here, because it actually is a great expression. Can you see from the Urban Dictionary? It's something that looks good and it is good. It looks good and it is good, because righteousness, the blessed breastplate of righteousness, has got a bad press, hasn't it? On the basis of self-righteousness. And who are the best at being self-righteous? We Christians, we're very good at that, aren't we? But here we're saying, right, it's got to look good and it has to be good. So that's putting on the right breastplate. Now, the DMs, do you know what DMs are? Doc Martens, yes, you're well switched on. You see, you're actually living in the real world where real people live when we can understand these things. So I put the Doc Martens because the gospel of peace needs traction. You can't go in your high heels, can you? The gospel has to have a firm basis and it's got to have traction with the people. And we've looked at what that gospel means. And I'm just going to look back to remind us of the definition of the gospel. And the gospel is the message concerning Christ, the kingdom of God and salvation. That's the message that we need in the church to get traction. We need the DMs, the Doc Martens on our feet to get traction with the gospel. And then the shield of faith diverts media generated fears. Do you know, media is generating so much fear throughout the country, isn't it? Young people, I mean, on the sort of the innocent platforms of Facebook, the innocent platforms of Facebook, it becomes a bullying environment. And whereas If I put an image up on the screen that has got some little copyright thing in it, they will chase it down to the church and they'll say, you've got to pay a penalty for using that image. I'm always paranoid now when I'm looking up images to see if they're copyright free. The media companies can do that, but they can't pick out someone who is bullying and obscene and offensive. And I think as Christians, we have a duty to speak out about it because it is the scourge of society. And then the hard hat of salvation. We all know what the hard hat is. We've seen it in the building industry, and it protects the mind. If you get a whack on your head with a brick without your hard hat on, I mean, that can be curtains, can't it? But actually absorbing the wrong stuff through our heads, through what we see. And the trouble is, we've got access to so much. I may have access to YouTube and Dietrich Bonhoeffer, but easily within the click of a mouse, I can be into horrendous situations. And it never happened before. So here we are, we need the hard hat of salvation to protect the mind. And finally, the sword of the Spirit, the response of God to us, is faster than 5G. And young people will not be able to believe it's anything as fast than 5G, but there will be something soon. But we already have it, the sword of the Spirit. May we just turn over. So what we've got here, I need to tell you a little story to put this into context. Some of you know that I've been on steroids. And for the first year, it was sheer joy. I had no pain. I have an uplifted mood. And then after a year, I'm saying to the doctor, I need a bit more steroid. The havoc, because I had polymyalgia rheumatica, which meant I couldn't move my head like that, and I couldn't move my shoulders. But within days of the steroid, this all went away. But then, as time went on, the doctor was saying, the steroid compromises your immune system. And I'm thinking, oh, I'm having all these jabs for COVID, and they're compromised. And then I had shingles, despite the fact that I'd had the injection against it. So it was being compromised. I said to the doctor, said to me, you better come off them, but you'll go through cold turkey. And I thought, well, I've heard that term for people who are in unfortunate circumstances. But I found that cold turkey is bad if you're coming off heroin. I also found it's bad if you're coming off prescribed drugs. I've since been seeing a Chinese doctor who says Western medicine covers up problem, doesn't cure it. And I thought, what a truism that. He said Chinese medicine tries to find the source of the problem and cure it. Isn't that part of the gospel? Rather than covering up the problem with the steroid, we need to get to the heart of it and cure it. So this cold turkey thing, 10 months to come off it, steroids. And I get to the last time, which was 4 weeks ago. And I thought, praise the Lord, I'm off it. And then the cold turkey hit me because that last little bit of steroid was still giving me protection from pain. And the other thing is, I started to itch all over. So here we are, look. This is 4 weeks ago. I was looking in the Bible for some biblical antidepressant dress and how to moth-proof it. So here it is. Dress with joy. This is what Psalm 30, verse 11 says. You have changed my sorrow into dancing. You have taken away my sackcloth. That's the feeling I have, a horrid, itchy shirt, and everything is itching me up, and clothed me. And I put the little word in here, a jumper of joy. And you know, when it gets cold, sometimes you have to put on two jumpers of joy. And this is what the psalmist implores us to do. Okay, you've got one jumper of joy, put on another jumper of joy. You wanted me to praise you and not to be silent. Lord, my God, I will praise you forever. That's beginning to change things. The other thing I did was I thought about people in this church and amongst my acquaintances. And I know so many of you have gone through so much, and amongst our acquaintances, people waiting for operations for knees and hips and all this sort of thing. And I thought, yes, count your blessings. Name them one by one. And as I start to have a mental spreadsheet of my blessings compared with the things other people were suffering, I began to come out of this. I was putting on my biblical anti-depression dress. I recommend it to you. Put on the jumper of joy. And this is what kills the jumper of joy, is selfish rich people, because actually when, it's a hard thing to say, but when we get depressed, we become self-centered. I don't know if anybody's ever been depressed here, but it does put us back. I'll use the old hackneyed thing here. Jesus, others, yourself, you know, because that puts it into context. So if you become selfish, listen, look out. Your clothes will be eaten by moths. Avoid pleasing yourselves with everything you want, from James. So once you've got the jumper of joy on, you can be careful it doesn't get eaten by moth. And here we go, a bit towards the end now. The shield of faith deflects the anxieties caused by climate, COVID, and social media, because these are huge fears that exist in the world. I give you these little texts from the Bible, because when you're worried about climate and when you're worried about COVID and when you're worried about social media, because it does come, it comes on, it keeps flowing over us, doesn't it? Don't be afraid of these people, is what it says. Because the Lord your God is with you. He will not fail you or leave you. That applies. These people are the trolls, right? Don't be afraid of these people. My God will use his glorious riches to give you everything you need. So when it comes to care for COVID, okay, we need to be wise. We need to be masked. We're masked here this morning. But we needn't be paranoid, need we? We just got to be careful. And then call on him and he will answer. There's a better route to social media. That's your 5G, the sword of the spirit. Trust the Lord completely and don't depend on your own knowledge. I'm a control freak. I admit it. I confess it here this morning. You all know it in any case. But that one is quite difficult, isn't it? Trust the Lord completely and don't depend on your own knowledge. And finally, brethren, I've written a psalm just to sum this up. The armor of God is free. Put it on today. On the left-hand side, he's come out quite well. That's a troll, yeah. On the right-hand side is the cross, and there is the fight. The Lord is my... There are little sub-messages in here. The Lord is my next outfitter. I have everything I need, not everything I want. He quenches my thirst with sparkling spiritual water. I will never thirst again. What? Never thirst again. He renews my strength. He leads me on well, good paths. Yes, the paths of righteousness. I will not be afraid of climate, COVID, or trolls, because I am wearing the armor of God. The lightning sword of the Spirit protects me. Your goodness and mercy are such a comfort. I will live in one of the Lord's grand designs, where he freely repairs my damaged emotions with his sustainable products, which has no cost to me, but did cost God's Son, Jesus, dearly. Brothers and sisters, here endeth the lesson. May the joy of the Lord shake us up. Amen.